putting in something, putting something like this in into the announcement. Is that correct?
I'm not in favor of including that type of announcement in the WHOIS output. And I'm not convinced that it would be at all effective to include that in the data accuracy reminder messaging that goes out.
The only reason I was trying to, made a proposal like that was because if there was some sort of presumption that this process was to move forward with some sort of notification process, I was thinking that it would be significantly easier for the registrars to incorporate something of this nature into an existing email reminder, whatever you want to call it, than as opposed to having to create a whole new series of scripts and codes and stuff to do something like this.
But what that proposal misses is the fact that this is for the benefit of a third party, not the registrant.
I wasn't getting into the theory behind what it was doing. What I was concerned about more than that was that I feel it extremely important that any communication that's mandated by any process by ICANN to a registrant absolutely needs to be done by the registrar. There was at one point in time some sort of I won't use the word innocuous, but a allusion to the registries getting involved, and the last thing in the world, having been involved with the constituency, that any registrar wants is a registry getting involved in anything with, well, their customer, you know. So that's I want you to understand what the logic was behind that suggestion, you know.
Sure. Yeah, if we were talking about communicating to registrants, I think those would be worthy proposals.
There was an implication there.
Right.
You know, that was what it was. I'm just trying to, at least put stuff out that I just would hate to see a situation where anything got mandated one way or the other, where it imposed additional. Not just obligations, but related cost increments and so forth, because it's so difficult for anybody to pass something like this through. Also, I need to add, there was a comment that was made, and I can't remember who it was. Ross, it might be in you. Did you reference the fact that GoDaddy charges registrants at this point in time now, or was that on a blog somewhere?
I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm saying basically is that if somebody files a dispute, notifies ICANN, that some of the registrars are currently charging registrants for even verifying the information that's being requested as a part of that challenge. You know, the one that's filed. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a minute, since there's only three of us and Glenn on the call, see if I can't find that link, and I'll shoot it out to you guys.
I'm not familiar with the practice, so it would be inappropriate for me to comment, but I'm happy to take a look at it.
I understand. I was more concerned about whether or not it had come from you or what.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, here it is right here. On ICANN Watch, Milton had security report risks from bogus WHOIS problems. And let's see what he says here. In addition, some registrars, such as GoDaddy, charge a fee to the registrant for merely reviewing a WHOIS problem report for a particular domain, regardless of whether the report is valid. So I'm going to just send you guys the link to the ICANN Watch article, so at least you're aware of what some of the other people are saying about this process, okay?
I've actually seen that, Ken, but you can go ahead and send it if you like. Somebody else sent that to me, and I've reviewed that article.
Okay. it's gone. I don't know whether my system will send it with or without all of the frills that go with it, but you'll get the Fairphones article at least. Glenn?
Yes, Ken?
You have access to ICQ right now?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I stepped out of the registry constituency call, and they were getting ready to ask for some reports which I needed to make. I'm just going to step back into that call for just 4 or 5 minutes. If you need me back in this conference call, if we're going to move forward, please ICQ me and I'll come right back in, okay?
Okay, I'll do that, but I don't see that you're online.
Oh, I'll make sure I'm online.
What do you guys think? It's now a quarter of.
I know, it's been 15 minutes.
Ross, what's your recommendation on how to proceed with just the three of us? Do you want to talk about some of these issues, or do you want to...
I've got questions for the BC. As I would guess that you probably do. And I'm happy to answer any questions about my message.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here reading the newspaper, so I'm not terribly put off by the delay.
Right, no, I understand.
I'm just coming back up again there, so you can... I'll be available if you need me in the next 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll see where you are, Ken. That's fine. I'll call you if we need you.
Ross. Yeah, I only have one question for Ross. Our constituency's position really hasn't changed since the last time I sent it out to you, except to reaffirm the time period that we had discussed. And as far as the comments regarding the inclusion into the annual thing, I've gotten Ross's response. I mean, I don't know where to go with that. I want you to understand the spirit in which that was offered, Ross. That's the point.
The spirit in which what was offered, Ken?
The suggestion about including that link in the annual Who Is notices.
Did you want me to answer that now, or...?
No, I'm just saying I want to understand why I had offered it that way.
Oh, okay. I understand. Right. Sorry, I was, like I said, I was reading the paper. I should pay attention.
Okay.
Thanks,
I'll
Ken.
I'll be off then.
Great.
Well, like it's just the two of us, Ross. I've gone through your comments, and I guess the... just so I'm clear, you don't want to include the fax contact data? You're saying that that's not required to be collected, but if it is provided, couldn't that be a basis for confirming contact?
It could be, but what it's doing is skewing the rest of the policy. So when, in fact, in reality, we only really have 3 contact elements that we can depend on. So to check 2/3 of those sounds rather... overbearing, and that's not quite the right word I want to use, but it's close enough, I guess. If checking 2 out of 3 seems rather onerous when compared to checking 2 out of 4, so it has a definite impact on the policy.
Yeah. What about this email permanent delivery failure requirement that you have?
That's just a minor thing from my perspective. There's a number of reasons why an email may bounce. For instance, if there's a routing issue that occurs between the sending point and the receiving point, it may actually affect the delivery of the mail, but be beyond control of any party that's either sent or received the email. So, for instance, if I send a message to you and AT&T happens to be off the air in Chicago, I may get a message bounce back. But that has nothing to do with the accuracy or inaccuracy of your contact data. It just means that there's been a temporary failure of the Internet. There's all sorts of conditions like that. I'd just like to tighten that language up to make sure that we're only taking the right messages seriously. And that right message would be, if I can't deliver this because this address doesn't exist or this mail server doesn't exist, then we should take that as a suitable indicator that the registrant is not contactable with that
How long does a permanent delivery failure take to generate?
My understanding is that there's two types. One is generated immediately if it's an address not found. I can't deliver this. There's no way I can deliver this. Another one is it takes up to 72 hours to generate. So in both cases, it happens relatively quickly.
Okay. Just so I understand. What about after somebody provides information? You're saying that once somebody responds and says, here's my contact data, the registrar should not be required to do anything at that point.
No, I'm saying that we should have to verify the contact data that they provided us.
I'm looking at your Section 1B, you know, regarding Section 1B.
Yeah.
And it seems to me what you're saying there is if there is a complaint and then you contact a registrant and they get back to you and they say, here's our contact data, your proposal is that at that point the registrars have no obligation to verify that data.
No, what I'm saying is that we should be verifying the data that they provide us, but not all other information associated with the record.
Okay, as reflected in your
so if your if your mailing address is incorrect and you update it, we have an obligation to verify that mailing address. We do not have an obligation to verify your email address, your phone number, your fax, the color of your hair, or anything else.
Oh, so you only have to verify any updated information provided.
That's correct.
Okay, that seems kind of reasonable. Back to the see what their take is on it. Maybe you want to talk about Sarah's email and this issue about they want clarification about placing a domain name on.
Yeah, I suspect that she's going to want answers from the two of us. I can provide you with a technical statement regarding the status of on hold, but I think it should probably fall to you to answer the rest of those questions.
Okay. Why don't you tell me? Just go ahead and review the technical aspects of that for perspective.
There's a few different types of hold. It's not clear what this proposal is talking about. You can put a domain name on hold and have it locked so that it cannot be edited or transferred, but it still works. You can put a domain name on hold so that it no longer exists in the DNS, but it's still registered. The proposal should be clear on that point.
So the second one it no longer resolves to a working. It's still registered.
That's correct.
It's unusable. What do you call the second one?
There's a registry lock. I'm going to defer on giving you the actual technical labels because I don't have them handy.
Okay.
Let's call one a registrar hold, and let's call the other one a registry hold. And don't let the labels mislead you into thinking that the registries have to do one and the registrars do the other. These are both registrar-initiated conditions.
Is the one where it's locked, edited or transferred, but it still works?
Correct.
Is that the registrar hold?
Correct. And I'm being really loose with these terms, but that's the essence of it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I think these comments we need to deal with them, obviously. And I'm certainly happy to take back your comments, you see, to get some clarification on the position there.
Great.
Anything else that you wanted to raise now? I mean, not a whole lot. We can anybody else on the call.
No, I think that the comments I tabled were thorough and representative of our concerns, so I don't have any surprises, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, I guess at this point, maybe what we can do is I'll try to seek clarification from the IPC as to what it wants placing on hold. And if it's the, you know, if the registrar hold, seems to me we'd have to have some process, as Sarah raises in her question, of going to the next, or if it's initially the registry hold, then that would obviously impact people's views. So we'll look at that issue. I'll see if I can get something circulated next week.
Great.
And take it from there. So you're waiting on going back to the registrars until after we round in the task force?
Well, I need a more solid statement to take back to them. It's a rather expensive process, or an intensive process, to initiate a formal endorsement or ratification of any statement. So for me to do it two or three times, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Okay.
I'd much rather take ad hoc and informal comment from members of the constituency and feed that back at this point, rather than say, here's our definitive statement. I think it's a little bit restrictive to actually get us on the record at this point.
Right. Okay. All right. I'll see what I can do about maybe incorporating these comments and revised document for everybody to consider.
Great.
You know, we can talk about that next
one. Next one.
All righty.
Brian, sorry, it's Glenn. May I just, next week will be the 17th of November.
Right.
And then we've got a council meeting on the 18th where there is an update of the WHOIS task force is required. And then, then the Cape Town meetings will start in 2 weeks' time. Is there anything that one can expect? Can one expect that these recommendations will be tied up by then, or...
By Cape Town?
Yes.
You know, obviously that's not something that anyone can unilaterally determine. I'll see what I can do to include what's been stated here into a revised proposal and circulate that. And, you know, obviously everybody's going to need to look at that, and then there will probably be further discussion. So given the pace at which we're moving, it's whether that will be resolved by Cape Town. Now, I can't say, but we can certainly give it a shot. But I wouldn't make any promises. You know, if that's what you're looking for, I mean, I don't know if you're looking for something more concrete than that.
No, well, it's just that probably this will be discussed in Cape Town, and papers should be prepared so that when people arrive there, they have got something to look at and, you know, sort of to know where we'll be.
Well, I think it would make if we can work through a couple of these additional issues, revise language, and then have further discussion in Cape Town. The extent necessary, it makes sense. I mean, I do think we'll make at least some incremental progress between now and then, whether we get consensus on these issues.
Okay, because will you be in Cape Town?
I'm not going to be in Cape Town.
Okay, because then Ken and Ross and Greg will be there from the task force, and probably Victoria.
Maybe
from the ALAC, who will be there, and
Sarah usually goes, right?
Terry?
Sarah?
Yes, she sometimes goes, but the alternative is Marilyn, too.
Marilyn, too, and I think Steve Metallitz may be there from the IPC.
And Kiyoshi, of course, is the alternate member for the IPC on this task force.
Right, and... to the extent that he wants to participate.
Yes.
Steve would be involved and at least there to give his views, even if anecdotal, for the IPC, and that would obviously be helpful.
Okay, fine.
Cool. Okay. But I will try to take what Ross and Sarah have provided and work through that, circulate something else before next week's call. And I think... You know, looking at the schedule, the 24th would be the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll have a call that day. Talk about that next week. I think I'll be available for it if other people want to do it. And I guess there's only a couple of us, or maybe three of us from the States, maybe four. But we'll see how many people are going to be available. it looks like it's going to be, and we'll cancel that week and put it off to, I guess, until Cape Town.
Okay.
But let me get something circulated, and perhaps if Ross can provide additional comments, members of the task force, and we'll see if we can make some progress.
Additional comments on what topic, Brian?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Sarah's comments and your comments and see if I can clarify sections 1A and B.
Yeah.
And just so I'm clear, your position with respect to Ken's idea about publicizing the DPRS is, that the registrars really don't want any obligation in that regard. Is that oversimplified, or is that...
It's slightly oversimplified, but, I can unpack it slightly. By email, it's just going to the wrong people. This needs to go to people filing complaints, law enforcement, intellectual property community, and so on. There's certainly people in that community that are registrants, but when I send out email to 4 million people once a year, it's going to registrants, not people filing complaints necessarily. So I think it's too much into the wrong people. As far as including that in who is output, it just, in our opinion, sets absolutely the wrong precedent, and is something that can be much more effectively handled by ICANN in its regular publication.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, let me. I'll pass that along as well, and I'll try to get something circulated between now and next week, and everyone can take a look at that, and then we can talk about that further.
Great.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.